Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new book called Reignite. But first, here's his message, A New World Order.
2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, if we're going to understand this new world order, we need to understand the three worlds that Peter speaks about here in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. He talks about three worlds, as a matter of fact, the past world, the present world, and the promised world. For example, in verse 5, he begins speaking of that past world. Read with me verse 5. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So Peter is speaking here of the created world, of the past world that God had made. Now, we're never going to understand the destiny of the species until we understand the origin of the species. And the origin of the species is not in some morass, not some ecological or environmental evolutionary muck of millions of years ago, but the creation of this world is simply put in the scripture, Genesis 1:1. He lays it on the front porch so we all can see it and know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. We are not the product of chance. We are not the product of selective or random chance, but we are fashioned, and this world with all of its design and complexity, with all of its greatness and glory, this world was created by fiat, by the word of God, by the very hand of God, the world was framed. You say, can you believe in this generation, in our generation, that this world was made by God? You'd better believe it. You'd better believe that this world was made by God and by God alone. Because what you believe about the first world that was created will greatly determine what you're going to believe about the world which is to come. We're not the product of some lower species. We are created by the hand of God. Now, some people like to talk about theistic evolution, the idea that somehow God used selective or random chance or the evolutionary hypothesis, which is just a theory, just a chance. It takes more faith to believe the evolutionary story than it takes to believe the Word of God. But some people want to say, well, let's accommodate this, that God perhaps used evolution to bring about mankind, and evolution to bring about the world. Well, think about that for just a moment. If man is evolving, he's still evolving. And if we're evolving into a higher and more noble species, then ultimately, if man is just on a climb upward, ultimately man will reach a plateau in which he doesn't need God. And many, of course, think that they've reached that plateau today. If we think that mankind is somehow just on a plane moving higher and higher and higher, eventually we would have to say there's no need of the cross, there's no need of salvation, there's no need of God. And that's why all of these philosophies of humanism and life without God have formed, because when you say God didn't do it, or that God somehow was subject to His own creation, and God is somehow subject to some evolutionary process, then you have taken the heart out of the very Word of God, which says in the beginning God made man. And He did it on His own, and He did it by His own word. And I have no trouble believing the account of Scripture. It just solves all the problems with me. You say, how old is the earth? I don't know. I just know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so don't believe the lies and the theories that are promoted as truth. God created this world. But not only was this world a created world, this world that was created was corrupted. And that's why it said in verse 6, the world that then existed perished. And he's talking about the worldwide flood in the time of Noah. Because man became so corrupt in his imaginations and so sinful in choice to reject God. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 24. When he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the coming of the Son of Man. Just as they were marrying and giving in marriage and drinking and eating. And there's nothing wrong with drinking and eating, and certainly nothing wrong in getting married. But Jesus was saying, just as in the day of Noah, when people were indifferent to God, they were just going about their lives, ignoring God, living in pleasure, often living in sin, and they didn't care about the Word of God, they didn't care about the law of God, they didn't care about the things of God. They just went on thinking that time would always be, things would never change, and then the flood came and took them all away. You remember the account. God sent a preacher by the name of Noah. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, he built an ark in the middle of the desert. They'd never even seen rain. Most Bible scholars and those who study such things from a scientific viewpoint believe that the earth had a kind of biosphere, that they'd never seen rain until the day when the flood came. And so here's a man out in the middle of a desert building a big boat at the instructions of God, and he's preaching righteousness. He's preaching the Word of God. And they laughed and they mocked and they passed by and they rejected year after year after year after year. Because after all, they didn't know, the Bible says, until the flood came and took them all away. Well, they should have known. And just as in our day, no doubt there were skeptics and those who mocked Noah. They probably had a nightline in that day. And they invited a panel of distinguished guests, like Dr. Flavius Fluffyhead, the philosopher. And they asked Dr. Flavius Fluffyhead, sir, what do you think about the prospect of the end of the world? And this well-known and esteemed philosopher said, well, that which has a beginning could never have an end. That which begins continues, and we know philosophically that there cannot be an end of the earth. And this country bumpkin preacher, Noah, he doesn't have a clue as to what he's talking about. He's just an ignorant preacher. And they said, well, let's hear from the scientific world. So there on that panel is Professor Formaldehyde, Francis Formaldehyde. Say, Dr. Formaldehyde, what do you think? Well, we've never even heard of such thing as rain. We've never seen rain in our test tube. We can't prove that there's even rain, much less a flood. There's no possibility that there could ever be a flood. We can't prove it. We've never seen it. Well, thank you, sir. And they thought, well, since this is a religious matter, we better hand this over to the religious crowd. So they had an esteemed theologian to be on that panel. Reverend Dr. Tim Eartickler. And he was there to reflect from the clergy, what the clergy thought. And Reverend Tim Eartickler, what do you think about this idea of a flood and that God's going to send judgment on the world? And he said, this country bumpkin Noah, this preacher, is slandering the love of God. Why, God is a God of love, and God would never send judgment upon the face of the earth. And so they laughed and they mocked, and then the flood came. One day after the boat was built, God said, Noah, come on into the ark. Noah got his family, because they were the only ones who believed. Just 8 of them were saved. And they came into the ark, into the arms and the hands of God, and then a few sprinkles started. And somebody thought, I wonder what that is. And then a rain, and then a storm, and a hurricane, and a tidal wave. And as the rain began to rise, no doubt many of them were pounding on the side of that ark saying, Noah, Noah, for God's sake, let us in, Noah. But it was too late. for the flood came and took them all away. God said, we're to learn from that past world that the world will not go on and on and on apart from God. There is an accounting. There is a judgment. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when Jesus comes again in His day, the day of the Lord.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, A New World Order. What do you do when it feels like the flame of your faith is burning low? How do you renew your strength when you're spiritually exhausted? Find out in Dr. Graham's brand new book, Reignite. Drawn from his personal experience in one of the darkest times in his life, this encouraging book reveals how God can reach into your life and restore the strength and joy you're missing. Reignite is our thanks for your gift today. This is the last day of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, A New World Order.
We need to learn from that past world, but we also need to learn from our present world. And Peter talks about this present world. And you know what he says about our present world? He speaks of that present world in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word. In other words, the same word that created the world now sustains the world. Did you know that? What holds this world together? What holds us in space and in place? In the planetary system, in the universe, is the hand of God. God would have to do is take His hand off the elements of this earth and it would all explode into oblivion. So the same God who created the world in the beginning now controls this world and He's in charge of it. In spite of what man may say, God's still in control. Now in verse 3, we understand that this is a skeptical world, a scoffing world. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. Those who laugh and mock, deny that Christ is coming again, sometimes even from theological circles. Those who deny the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. Scoffers, skeptics. And do you know why they're scoffers? And do you know why they're skeptics? You say, oh, they've got intellectual problems. Not so. Peter says the reason that they're skeptics, verse 3, walking, they walk according to their own lust. Do you see it there? It's not a problem of the head, it's a problem of the heart. Because man loves his sin. Jesus said, man, reject the light because their deeds are evil. The devil's initials are carved on their hearts. And man in sin doesn't have room for a God who created this world, a God who controls this world. Man in his sin has to concoct a plan, a scheme, an hypothesis, a theory that says man is just an animal. And so man lives like an animal in his sin and in his rebellion against God and scoffs at the things of God and concludes, we'll go on and on and then we'll die and that'll be it. But that's not what God says. Look what he says in verse 8. Beloved, and he's talking to Christians here now. He's talking to you and me. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why does God wait to judge the earth? Why does Christ wait to return? Why doesn't He just come and straighten everything out right now? Isn't there enough hate? Isn't there enough heartache? Isn't there enough trouble in the world? Why doesn't God do something about it? Well, in God's infinite wisdom and plan, He is allowing evil to run its course. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. How God just allows evil to run its natural and normal course until he places the sickle into the world and harvests the world. But the fact is that as nature takes its course and as humanity without God continues to live out Satan's plan for their life instead of God's plan for their life, God allows it to happen. And why does he allow it to happen? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but maybe he waits just for you to come to know Jesus as Savior. He waits in mercy. And did you know that every skeptic, everyone who laughs and mocks at the second coming of Christ and the judgment that is to follow, they are but a proof and a prediction that the Word of God is true. God said, don't be surprised when this happens. They're going to be scoffers, Christians. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you feel like you just fell off the pumpkin truck? You can believe in a God who created this world and a God who controls this world and a God who will consummate this world. But these scoffers come and they laugh because they're not honest with God and they're not even honest with themselves. And so this scoffing world is going to be judged just like the past world. Verse 7 says, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, isn't that amazing? How on earth did Simon Peter, a fisherman, know that this earth is reserved with fire? Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he knew what only scientists have discovered in our generation, that this whole world is reserved with fire, filled with fire. All the material world, all the material creation, the elements of this world, the materials of this world are filled with fire. This pulpit is fire. Your human body is fire. These lights, this building is all stored up and reserved with fire. That's what we learned when we learned that we could split the elements and split the atom. That there is tremendous energy and life force and nuclear power. And God said all along that this world is reserved with fire. And so in verse 10, he says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, suddenly, unexpectedly, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the Greek word there for noise is a word which means whirring noise. And those who have listened and heard atomic explosions say that it sounds like a whirring explosion. Wind and fire and explosive power and great noise. Some have said the world just began arbitrarily with a big bang. Well, the world didn't begin with a big bang, but it's going to end with a big bang. With great heat. Notice the Bible says in verse 10, the elements will melt with fervent heat. And that word means fever heat. Heat from within. Mother Earth is going to get a fever. And the end will come. And both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Not only the physical material world, but all that who have lived for this world. All the monuments that mankind has built for himself. It's all going up in smoke. It's all going up just like that. And notice who's going to push the button. Not man. I don't live with the fear that man is going to destroy the world. Man will not destroy the world. God himself is in control of the end just as he was in control of the beginning. Now, God may use nuclear power. We don't know how it's going to end, except in this verse, Peter says it's going to end with fire. And all the elements are going to be changed. He used another word in verse 11 to describe the conclusion of this world system as we know it. Verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved. And he uses that same word again down in verse 12. The heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. And there the heavens do not refer to the place where God dwells, but the atmospheric heavens. The space and the reaches of our own world system will be dissolved. And he uses a word which means loosed. Jesus used that same word in John chapter 11 when he called forth Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus came out in those grave clothes, and he said to the servants nearby, loose him and let him go. Dissolve. Dissolve it. Let him loose. Let him free. He said in the last days, this earth is going to be set free. It's going to be dissolved, changed. Which brings us to the final world, that promised world. That world of which Jesus, or Peter says in verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. We're looking for a world that will be reborn in righteousness. No more sin. No more suffering. No more tragedy. No more sorrow. For all of these things will be dissolved. And as sin is judged, and as Satan is changed and chained and destroyed in the lake of fire, the Lord himself will descend with heaven, from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And we shall be reborn into the presence of God and live where righteousness dwells, where righteousness is at home. You see, we're not living in a world where righteousness is at home. Righteousness is not at home in this present world. You live for God. You live for Christ. You live a godly life. And you'll not be at home here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But we're looking for a day and a new world order, in which we will dwell in righteousness, no longer with the drag of sin, no longer with the limitations of this physical life, but set free face to face. We'll have a new body in which to enjoy a new Jerusalem and a new government in which God rules. We'll enjoy a new name and we'll sing new songs and we'll be in a new heaven and a new earth forever and ever, where there's no pollution of sin and no penalty and judgment of God, but forever and ever we shall be in his presence. That's the promised world. And that's why Peter says to all of us who believe that, therefore, what manner of men we should be in character, in righteousness, in godliness. The Bible says, he that has this hope in him purifies himself. We walk in purity. We walk in holiness. We walk in godliness because we know that there's a new world coming. We say, what is this world coming to? I'll tell you what this world is coming to. This world is coming to Jesus because Jesus is coming to this world. And there is an urgency. I want you to see what Peter said, and we'll close. He said there's an urgency in verse 11. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord? Note that little phrase, hastening. Did you know that you can be a part of God's eternal plan and finishing this current world system by preaching the gospel around the world and receiving your assignment to hasten the kingdom of God? Hasten it on. And the way to hurry it up is for us to get busy with what God has told us to do, which is to fulfill the Great Commission. That's why we can never be satisfied with the status quo. How can we, when the judgment of God is facing the earth and facing those that we love? Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And because people are dying without Christ, and because people are facing an eternal judgment without God, we must go with the gospel and do everything within our power to hasten the day of the Lord.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, A New World Order. Whatever you're facing today, how would you like to experience God's presence, His peace, and the hope of His promise in a new and refreshing way? You can, and we want to show you how by sending you Dr. Graham's brand new book, Reignite. Discover how God can renew your strength, lift your spirit, and fan your faith into a fire that lights up the world. Reignite is our way to thank you for your financial support to help proclaim the hope of Christ to more people through PowerPoint. This is the last day of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. Call 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have every reason to hope. Even though this world will end one day, it will not end by the hand of man, but at the hand of God and in His perfect will and timing. So, as believers, we take heart because there is a new and better world coming. Now, to grasp this new world order, we need to understand the three worlds described in the third chapter of 2 Peter. In this passage, Peter tells us about the created world, the contemporary world in which we live, and the promised world, the coming world. And there's something to be learned from each of these worlds. Peter reveals that God created a perfect world, but that man corrupted the world and brought upon the world the great flood of judgment. So the created world also serves to remind us, just as in the days of Noah, that there will be an accounting, a judgment, for this world. But here's something else that Peter tells us about the contemporary world. The same word that created the world continues to sustain the world today. Did you know that? The same God who created the world in the beginning controls it even now in spite of what some may say. But there is yet another world coming. As believers, we're looking for a promised world, a world in which we will dwell in righteousness with God in Christ forever. And in this world, we will no longer be afflicted by sin or physical limitations. We'll have new bodies and a new government in which God rules. So what's your part in the new world order? I'll tell you, God is looking for those who understand the world like nobody else, the world He loves so much that He sent His only Son to save. You and I are on assignment to bring as many people as we can from the world to Him until He comes again. Let's be faithful to that assignment and do it to the glory of God.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful new book, Reignite, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join Dr. Graham next time as he brings a message about why God lets you experience spiritual drought. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.